All right, here we go. In a scrimmage at Dodger Stadium on Sunday, Max Muncy hit by pitch injured his finger. He's expected to be fine to start the year in a couple of weeks, but he says the reason he couldn't pick up that pitch against the new batting background at Dodger Stadium was because it's changed. A center field batter's eye, the visual backdrop for batters that has evolved over the course of a $100 million renovation and has seemingly made it more difficult for Los Angeles Dodgers hitters to pick up the baseball. A pedestrian area that is part of a new center field plaza brought the wall down lower, and the section of neighboring seats that used to be tarped off in black is now only partially painted black, which makes it difficult to pick up the baseball. John, should the Dodgers put the black tarp up over those new fan seats, or should hitters just have to adjust to the new hitter's background?
Well, it's only been one hitter so far, Max Muncy. What I would do is talk to the other guys and say, is this one guy who had a bad night, or is this an issue? You talk to Cody Bellinger, you talk to Mookie Betts, you talk to Justin Turner, you talk to Jock Peterson and Corey Seager, and I absolutely don't think you sweep it under the rug. I think it's a real – I mean, you know this, Mace. Every baseball park in the country basically has nothing in the sight line. This
yes.
is a thing. This is a real deal.
Yeah, it's a real thing.
I don't think you overreact to it, but I think at the same time you talk to your hitters and ask them if this is a problem.
And by the way, for right now, there are no fans anyway, so put up the black tarp. It doesn't matter. It's those fan seats nobody's going to be filling, so put up the black tarp right now. What's going to matter is hitting the ball out of the yard and being productive at the plate. And if having a black tarp up in the background for the hitter's eye makes a difference, then do it.
All right, Mace. Stanford, which has a large amount of varsity sports, has decided they're going to cut 11 of their varsity programs at the conclusion of this academic year because of the coronavirus pandemic. The 11 sports that will be discontinued are men's and women's fencing, field hockey, lightweight rowing, men's rowing, co-ed and women's sailing, squash, synchronized swimming, wrestling, and men's volleyball, which is pretty popular in the Pac-12. Is this the beginning of a trend? Stanford is a private school with an endowment that has a lot of money. If they're cutting varsity sports, Washington State and Oregon State can't be far behind, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think this is going to mark as a death knell, I think, for college sports. Football derives so much of the revenue for schools. Basketball, we didn't have a March Madness this year. We didn't have all that tournament money divvied up to schools. You know, I'm afraid that college athletic departments, which already were pretty hamstrung, are really going to suffer because of this. I think it is the beginning.
And I think that it will be bigger sports than the 11 I just mentioned. I mean, baseball does not make any money. It costs money to travel. I mean, they still have Title IX, so you have to spend the same amount of money on men's sports as you do women's sports. But it costs a lot of money to send a women's basketball team on a road trip, and they don't necessarily make money at their games. I mean, they've got some real decisions they're going to need to make here.
Yeah. All right, it seems official. The Indians are going to be changing their franchise nickname. I've got the top choices for new nickname. Tell me what jumps out at you. Lindsay, you can chime in here, too, since you are a Clevelander. The favorite is the Spiders. There was apparently in the 1890s, the Cleveland baseball franchise was known as the Spiders. What do you think of that?
I think they can do better. I mean, if they nickname them the Spiders as a tip of the cap to the old team, then I guess I could live with it. But I think they can do better. Lindsay, what do you think?
I love the Spiders, and they've been talking about renaming the team for decades. And that's the first one that I would go with because I think it's a cool name. It's different. It's kind of weird. But I also like the Cleveland Naps. That's my second favorite.
I do, too. The Cleveland Naps, I think, is my favorite choice, named after Nap LaJoy.
How do you spell it? N-A-P-S?
N-A-P-S.
Yep. Huh.
After Nap LaJoy. I actually like that a lot.
It would lend itself to a lot of good headlines.
Yeah.
Cleveland loses
Wake
again.
Up, Cleveland.
Yeah, no kidding.
Naps fall asleep again.
All right, no, wait, let me ask you this. Is the nickname the Tribe still too tied to the Indian?
It's not on the list.
Yeah.
I'll tell you the names that are on the list. The Guardians, the Buckeyes and
terrible,
and knowing
terrible and terrible.
Terrible. Ohio State is the Buckeyes in Ohio. The Dobies, which
terrible.
I'm not sure why.
No, from that's Larry Doby.
Larry
Doby.
Oh, Larry Doby, right.
Ever to be
still,
in the
it's still
League.
A terrible name for a baseball team.
Yeah, if you're
the Wild
name,
Things.
No, awful.
Are you kidding? That would actually be fun.
That sounds like a cheesy minor league name that they like come up with for one night out of the year just to make
Have you not seen
up.
The movie Major League?
Yeah, but Charlie Sheen's a jerk face, and I don't want a team to be named after a character that he plays. I am not a fan of that.
Here are the rest of them. The Rocks, the Cuyahogas, the Crows, the Rockers, the Unions, the Fellers, I hate that, and the Great Lakers. I actually think there's something to be said for the Rockers.
Ew, come on. You know what's funny is that so many people, like, they talk about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and Cleveland being the birthplace of rock and roll, but it's really not a thing to anybody that's there. Like, nobody knows us for that.
Like, right, but people know Cleveland for it outside of Cleveland.
It sounds like a made-up thing, though. Like, it doesn't really apply, I guess.
Well, Mason, if you were going to name, like you said, the Naps, if you were going to pick an Indian that was, like, most identified with the team, isn't it Bob Feller?
Isn't Nap LaJoie the greatest player in Cleveland Indians history?
Nap LaJoie? Yes.
Is that officially the way you say his name?
Tomato, tomato.
But Nap LaJoie?
Yeah, well, that's how I've always
making him sound French.
Michael Thompson just sent me a note. Google Nap racist.
So
you might have a problem there.
Interesting.
Because really? I was going to say, I feel like that was one of the front runners.
But you know, Bob Feller's nickname was Rapid Robert. Could you call him the Rapids?
You could, but that would also be extremely cheesy, and I think they should just go Spider. Imagine the fun we could have with that.
Yeah, I guess the Spiders are a favorite for good reason. It will look good on a hat. It will look good on shirts.
That's true.
It's and the one thing that you don't hear people say about these nickname changes is, man, the Cleveland franchise is going to make bank on this, changing all their logos and changing all their merch. And
so is
Washington. Washington's going to make a ton of money off changing nicknames.
You know what's crazy though is that Chief Wahoo, before they removed him from the uniforms and gear 2 years ago ish.
No, it was in 2000, Lindsay.
No, they started phasing him out in 2000. He wasn't completely removed until about 2 years ago. Trust me, this is a very, very touchy subject within my family.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's like my dad's Christmas present every year, Chief Wahoo stuff. But anyway, it was one of the highest selling mascots in all of pro sports for years.
Yeah, Chief Wahoo is a racist logo.
Well,
there's no question about that.
It's got that thing. Now Michael is sending me notes. He says he doesn't know if Nap LaJoie was or wasn't, but he did play in the segregated era.
He did. He did. He played. So, he played around the 1900s, in the 1800s, early 1900s. Is Nap LaJoie
born in
racist?
1874.
John, take it.
He was in that era, so that makes it a difficult thing to you know, just kind of.
But that's not his fault.
Rubber stamp. Well, I mean, Google it. We'll see what's there. All right, Mace. Austin Rivers, Doc's son, who plays for the Houston Rockets, thinks that whoever wins the NBA bubble in Orlando should have an asterisk next to their name, but it's not for the reason you might think. Here's what he said. Quote, "I think whoever wins should have an asterisk next to it, but only for it being one of the toughest championships ever. You're asking guys to take 3-4 months off, then come back, find a chemistry, then play during a pandemic while players are fighting for BLM. If you think about it, he elaborated on it. He said, there's a lot going on right now. Crazy times and a lot of worry. And during these times, players are leaving their families to go live in a lockdown bubble. So for all these reasons and more, I think it would be one of the tougher championships ever to win. The only season ever like this. Is Austin Rivers right?
100% right. I think it's going to be really tough to win this year. I think if you win the championship, you are really winning a championship this year. And I know there are technically fewer games, but there has been this layoff where you've had to maintain high level of physical conditioning. There is the Black Lives Matter and the social justice issues, which have become something that players care about a great deal, something that they've been involved in a whole bunch. In my mind, this is a tougher championship than the average championship. So I agree with Austin Rivers.
I don't think that you can demean this championship in any way.
No.
But if you put an asterisk next to it, people will think it's for a bad reason, not a good one. I just think you win it, you win it. That's it.
67-year-old umpire Joe West has decided to work in this pandemic-shortened season. He says the reason he's lost 25 pounds over the offseason, he's playing golf every day, and he adds this. Look, most of these people that they're reported are dying are not healthy to begin with. I don't believe in my heart that all these deaths have been from coronavirus. I believe it may have contributed to some of the deaths. I said, I'm not going to opt out. I'm going to work, and I'm going to work until you take me off the field or I get hurt, whatever I'm working. So now I'm going to add to this that Joe West grades out as the worst umpire in Major League Baseball. He averages 21 wrong calls per game. No other umpire is
not
close.
Not per game. Per year, you mean?
No, 21 wrong calls per game. In other words, ball, strike. Getting calls wrong.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
So if you're Major League Baseball, knowing that he's 67, knowing that he's made these comments suggesting that COVID isn't as serious as a public health crisis as we know it to be, and the fact that he is the worst umpire in baseball, if you're MLB, do you permit him to umpire this year?
Well, they have a union, so it makes it tough just to unilaterally kick him to the curb. But I always thought that, like in the NBA, for example, if you grade out in the bottom 5%, you're out.
Yeah.
They replace you with someone better. Why wouldn't baseball do that? I mean, regardless of what he said about coronavirus or anything else, why wouldn't you just get rid of him because he's the worst umpire? That would be the only thing I would care about, is that he's making that many mistakes.
Yeah, he's making a lot of mistakes. All you got to do is Google Joe West worst umpire, and you will see the number of pages that pop up. Yeah, I mean, first of all, the comments about coronavirus, Major League Baseball has apologized. He should apologize for those. He's just not stating facts, and it comes across like he's speaking for the game, and he's not. Can you discriminate based on? I mean, I would think that at some point there's a winnowing of the field. If you're not a good umpire, you just shouldn't be a good umpire anymore.
Yeah, I think the NBA does it right. I think if you're in the bottom 5%. You're out.
Is that the way they go?
Yeah. Then they go promote somebody else.
How does their union allow that?
Well, because it's based on performance. You know, they grade every game, and all you got to do is not be in the bottom 5%.
Wow. That's like those old Enron. Did you ever see Smartest Guys in the Room?
Yes.
Enron would just say, they'd get everybody together in a big room and they'd say, all right, the bottom 25%, you're gone. They do it once a year. The bottom 25% was gone.
In terms of production?
Yeah, in terms of production. They just scared the living hell out of people. I don't want to be part of that 25% that's going to get cut immediately. So that's interesting, that basketball does that. Yeah, I mean,
it's a hard and fast rule, but two of the old refs I talked to said that's why they're not in the league anymore. They graded low.
What scares me about Joe West and other umpires, coaches that are in this age range is if you want to end things really quickly, it will happen if somebody gets really sick. And 67 years old, you're in the crosshairs for getting COVID,
right.
I'll
give you an NBA example. Lionel Hollins, I'm sure, really wanted to go to Orlando,
sure.
But he's 66 and the Lakers elected not to take him.
Yeah.
I'm sure he wasn't, happy about it, but that was a tough decision, and they elected to err on the side of caution. So there
yep.
you go.
I get it. All right, coming up next for you. The bubble doesn't seem to be working for the MLS, which is a concern if we're getting ready for the NBA bubble, which the Lakers have flown off to just today. Plus, Rajon Rondo doesn't love his room. He's made that clear. I'm not a fan of my room. It's like the Motel 6 is what he says. And, of course, the meals have not been popular either. So there's a lot of stuff going on with the NBA bubble. We will get to all of that. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. All right, 710 ESPN, Mason in Ireland. What is going on? It is Thursday afternoon. Cranking through another week, and we're getting closer, people. We're getting closer. In fact, the MLS is back tournament is underway right now. 4 days away, LAFC is going to play Houston, the Dynamo. Then we're 10 days away until the Dodgers play their first exhibition game against Arizona. 14 days away, 2 weeks from today is opening day for the Dodgers. Dodgers versus Giants. Clayton Kershaw is going to get the start for the Dodgers. I've not heard a starter for the Giants yet, but I'm guessing it's probably either Cueto or Jeff Samardzija. One of those guys will be the starter.
Is that their choice for a number one starter?
Yes, it is.
Oh, God.
No, that team is rough. They may be the worst team in baseball.
That, you know, I forgot about that when Bumgarner left, that it left them with just this void in at the top of their rotation, and that's brutal.
Yeah, that is brutal. Cueto has not been good, and neither has Samardzija since they signed him. Those were two bad free agent signings. I was just looking to see if there's anybody else that they may go to. I think it's going to be one of those two guys. But that'll be the opening day pitching matchup, and that's 2 weeks from today. The NBA is back. Lakers versus Clippers, 21 days away. The Lakers are now in the bubble down in Orlando, and the Clippers, I think, are in the bubble, except for Kawhi Leonard, who didn't go because of family reasons. John, do we know anything more about that?
No, but I think Kawhi's allowed to set his own rules. I mean, I think that was part of him signing with the Clippers. It just sounds to me like he sits out games whenever he wants. He wanted to go down later. I think that's the price of a top-tier free agent in the NBA today, don't you? That if you get a guy like that, you let him do whatever he wants?
Yeah. Although I think he's playing by even more different rules than everybody else.
Well, he maybe earned it. You know, he's the reigning NBA Finals MVP. He agreed to come to a team that had no history of landing big free agents. I'm not so sure if I was the Clippers, I wouldn't do exactly the same thing.
Yeah. No, I mean, that was the deal. He was going to go where he got. And you know, there was all that talk at the very end that maybe the Lakers were in it. Maybe the Lakers were a player for Kawhi. And I'm sure the Lakers were going to make exactly the same deal with Kawhi, which is you play when you want to play. You listen to your body and you play on those nights when your body says, I'm good to go. And if you don't want to come to the bubble with us, if you want to come separately. See, I just think for safety's sake, keeping everybody together as opposed to flying separately is probably a good idea. So I don't know if it's a safety thing.
He's not the only one that's doing it. Shams just tweeted that James Harden and Russell Westbrook did not travel with the Rockets to Orlando. They're going to join the team later. So maybe this is something we should just get used to. That guys are not going to stay in the bubble any longer than they have to.
Right. Yeah, right. Because they're not going to start, although I think it takes like 4 days to get into the bubble. You need to have like three negative tests before you actually get into the bubble. So players like the Lakers arrived down there. They're in quarantine right now until they pass a number of tests before they actually get into the bubble. So they're in Orlando, but they're not in the bubble yet.
Because I think they're scheduled to practice this coming week. So it can't be that long of a quarantine. I know they were tested both today and yesterday already before they left.
Oh, well, maybe that accounts for some of it.
Yeah.
And they're gonna work out this week?
Yeah, the practice schedule's already out, and their first preseason game's on the 23rd.
Hey, did Mike Trudell go with the Lakers?
No, Annie is 8 months pregnant.
Oh.
So I think he's
staying. I didn't realize
here.
That.
Although I shouldn't say that because I haven't talked to him in a couple of weeks. But the last time I talked to him, he was planning on not going.
How many kids is that guy going to have?
Three. That will give him
three. All right. It seems like more.
Well, because he had twins before.
Right,
Jet and Talon are like four, and then this is a boy. They're having another boy.
Three boys. Wow.
Yeah, it's everybody in the Laker broadcast family has boys.
Yeah.
Bill McDonald, three boys. Michael Thompson, three boys. Mike Trudell, three boys. John Ireland, one boy. Stu Lance, boys. Everybody's got boys. I don't know why.
Yeah.
It all worked out.
So are you on TikTok yet, John?
No. I heard it's getting canceled.
Yeah. Lindsay, are you on TikTok?
I made one when you and Ramona did your video, but I'm not active on it.
Yeah. And Funch, I'm guessing you're not on TikTok.
Not at all.
Okay. So TikTok is owned lock, stock, and barrel by the Chinese. We are basically sharing all of our personal data with the Chinese. And the country of India has now banned TikTok. In the United States, it's collecting data from American users. And it's kept in the United States, but when you consider it's downloaded 165 million times in the country, they have plenty to work with, and the company isn't being truthful. So should TikTok, given the fact that we are telling the Chinese, which geopolitically is one of our two biggest enemies, should we shut down TikTok in the United States?
I don't know enough about TikTok. It seems to me like it's a fad, but
you think they're all fads.
Well, but this reminds me of what was the last thing that you did like a 10-second video and that was it?
Snapchat.
All right, but hasn't Snapchat been kind of trumped by Instagram now?
Snapchat is huge.
I still use it all the time.
It's bigger than Instagram?
No.
Instagram. It's just a different type of.
What's the difference between Snapchat and Instagram?
Because you post stuff that you send it to people and it disappears, or you can post your own stuff on a story for everyone to see.
But yeah, I think Snapchat, the main thing is the Snapchat, it stuff. Disappears, John.
Huh.
Instagram's permanent. Except, no, if you do your story on Instagram, that's not permanent. That goes away. I mean, they're basically all different platforms. If you were to rank the social media outlets right now, I would say Instagram is number one.
Ahead of Facebook?
Nobody uses Facebook except...
I thought Facebook was like the thing everybody used.
Facebook is for older folks.
Yeah, that's okay. An older generation.
My mom
thing.
Loves Facebook, man. She posts a lot of recipes on Facebook. God, I follow her. I get recipes all the time.
Oh, I should friend her.
Yeah, you should. Instagram is like that's the big one right now. Instagram, like you see NBA players posting their messages on Instagram and not on Twitter. Twitter has fallen down that list a little bit. I would say Twitter comes after Instagram.
Where does Snapchat work in on that ladder?
Snapchat is at the same level, I would say, as TikTok, although I think TikTok has kind of overtaken them. John, you think everything is a fad. Like, you thought Periscope was a fad.
I still do.
We just did an entire contest on Periscope.
Right. I don't know anybody who is on Periscope. Not one person.
Well, it's Twitter.
Yeah, but Periscope isn't necessarily as much of a platform. It's more of a tool to provide people with live streaming video. Because you can post your like Maisha said, it's Twitter. If you want to live stream on Twitter, you do it through Periscope.
Right.
Yeah. All you do is click.
I don't know anybody who uses it.
All you do is click the. Well, I mean, that's how people watched our NBA 2K games. People watched our MLB The Show games, by the way, which both of them I won.
See, I watch both of those on Twitch.
Yeah, and Twitch is another platform. Twitch, YouTube, they're all different platforms, but they're used by totally different people. But I would say Instagram is like the thing right now. That's the way people communicate on social media. Definitely more so about.
So, okay,
yeah, John, you're talking about Vine, somebody said.
Yeah, I
you
am
are talking
that,
about
that,
Vine.
Yeah, that's what I was talking about. Now, do you think that's a fad?
Vine's gone.
Yeah, See, that's how.
Well, the problem with Vine was they were owned by, they're basically a startup company by a bunch of young college guys that couldn't find a way to monetize it. So it was actually extremely popular. The reason it went away was because they couldn't afford to keep it going because they couldn't monetize it.
Right. But it is, what's the difference between Vine and TikTok?
Well, Vine doesn't exist anymore, and TikTok is like the big happening thing.
Right. TikTok, 165
million Americans.
Yeah, right. Vine was just kind of like, if you want to grab a clip of like a highlight or a commercial or yourself, whatever, it was just a place for video clips to live. Whereas TikTok, you can create videos, you can splice them together, you can edit them, you can add captions and stickers and all kinds of stuff. You couldn't do that with Vine.
Somebody just texted me or tweeted me, TikTok is the new Vine. TikTok is a total fad. Facebook is for boomers and Gen X. The kids use IG and Snapchat.
Yeah, kids are using IG and Snapchat. Although TikTok seems to be a lot of kids use TikTok.
So what would it be a big deal if the United States banned TikTok? Would there be like outrage?
Yeah, it would be a gigantic deal. There would be a TikTok insurrection.
Why?
But I don't like sharing all my information with a foreign power,
so
like China.
Go. Sounds like you're out.
I'm out on TikTok. I do have an account, but I have not TikToked anything. Ramona and I did a TikTok together. It was brilliant. You saw it.
Yeah, I can't remember if I did.
Yeah, no, I did a handstand.
But this cannot be true. Were you here, Mason, when I just destroyed Bergman's really, really stupid idea about baseball games at Dodger Stadium? Were you gone that day?
I was gone that day.
All right. I'll tell you about it next. Bergman has the dumbest idea ever, and apparently it is regaining steam for some inexplicable reason. It really is one of the stupid. It is what we came up with, a new thing, GBS.
Yeah.
Greg Bergman stupid. It's really stupid. But I'll tell you what it is coming up.
Excellent. Mason, Ireland, 710 ESPN. And at 4:45, we've got Radio Tinder. Linz has put something together for us. John, Greg Bergman stupid, GBS.
Yeah, okay, so here's the backstory on this. A few weeks ago, Bergman came up with this idea. That, at least he's the first person I heard come up with it. You talked yesterday on the show about drive-in movies.
Yes.
Bergman's idea is drive-in baseball, that everybody would drive to Dodger Stadium, park in the parking lot, they would set up giant video screens, and you'd watch the game in your car, and honking would replace cheering.
Okay.
All right. So I explained to him that this is a terrible idea for many reasons. The biggest one is, like, I live in Manhattan Beach. You live in Venice.
Yes.
Just to get to Dodger Stadium, we need to leave our house before 5:30 for a 7 o'clock game.
Yes.
Just to get there. Then we crawl through traffic. Then we get parked.
Yes.
And one of the great reliefs when you get to a Dodger game is that you get to get out of your car and stretch your legs.
Oh, yeah.
Bergman's idea is you would go park your car, stay in it, watch games on the video screen, and then honk when something good happens. I explained to him that the video screens would be delayed.
Yeah,
that's just the nature of technology. So when Justin Turner was rounding second, that's when fans would see the crack of the bat. All right,
that is crazy.
So, but Bergman wants people to, in your case, you live in Venice.
Yep.
Leave your house at 5, get to the stadium at 6:30, stay in your car.
Yeah. Yeah.
For 3.5 hours.
Right.
Till 10:30. Then do that snail crawl out and get home at midnight. His plan is to have you in your car from basically 5 to midnight.
And yeah, and you'd have a better view of the game at home.
Correct. And you could get up and eat and drink all you want. What are you going to do for food? You can't go to concession stands because that would violate social distancing. What are you going to do if you have to go to the bathroom? You want everybody peeing in a cup?
Yeah.
I mean, he just didn't think it through.
Aquafina bottle.
So immediately fans started calling and defending Bergman. And about 10 minutes ago, he sent me a link to a Bill Shaken article in this morning's Los Angeles Times.
Oh, no.
And the headline is, drive-in baseball. Why not watch Dodgers or Angels games on a screen from a car? And Shaken goes into great detail as to why.
You're kidding me.
Oh, no. It seems like in one weekend in June, the Padres hosted 7 drive-in events in a team parking lot. It was set up to accommodate 250 cars, 2 concerts, 2 movie screenings, and 3 high school graduations.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. So now apparently the Padres are hopeful of holding drive-in baseball outside Petco Park this summer.
Well, one of the things that Shaken's pointing out on his Twitter timeline is, here, look at Angel Stadium set up as a drive-in. You know, they're showing drive-in.
They sold out 3 concerts this past weekend.
Yeah,
don't you guys agree that at least the idea is a good idea, but the execution and like all the logistics that go along with it would be the difficult part? And other than that, it's a good idea.
No, I think it's a terrible idea, Lindsay. I have to sit in my car for 7 hours.
Yeah, Lindsay,
when I go to the drive-in, we take lawn chairs and we sit, unless it's cold, we sit in the car. But otherwise, you sit in your lawn chairs next to your car. There's going to be screens somewhere where you can watch the game.
That's true for a drive-in.
What do you want to do, Lindsay, if you got to go to the bathroom?
I'm sure that they could facilitate some porta potties that are probably no worse than the restrooms at Dodger Stadium.
What are you going to do if you want food or drink?
They should sell food there in food trucks or concession stands.
But food trucks violate COVID rules.
No, they don't. There's food trucks that are across the street in the marina all the time.
Food trucks are outdoors. Food trucks are, I mean, it's not like indoor dining.
Yeah, but wouldn't I have to stand 6 feet away from anybody and the line would go
just like you do when you go and stand in line anywhere else, like the grocery store or take out food, same thing?
Let me just take this in a little bit. So it's normally going to a movie is a communal experience, right?
Correct.
So I understand going to the drive-in. The Vineland Drive-In in Industry Hills is doing huge business right now. Michael B. Jordan has got a series of films. They're doing pop-up movies at the Rose Bowl. Robert De Niro and Tribeca are doing that. I understand that. The idea of getting out, watching a movie on a drive-in. And by the way, you're not necessarily in your car. Lindsay's right. If you go to a drive-in, and I grew up going to drive-ins, you stop, you get a bucket of chicken at Kentucky Fried, and you put lawn chairs outside the car, and that's how you watch the movie. So I do understand that. In sports, I want to me, it's almost too close. Like, I'm so close to being inside there, it would annoy me. Being outside the stadium and knowing that I was this far away from being in a game would bother me. And Lindsay, I don't know, how long have you been to a Dodger game?
Of course.
Okay.
So I've covered Dodgers games and been as a fan, and I enjoyed myself more when I covered it, actually.
But you know what a hellacious parking situation there is at Dodger Stadium.
Yes, but these are
it's
all
horrible.
Things they would need to take into account. Just like everything else during the pandemic, you'd have to account for the amount of parking spots and cap it at so many people and stop letting people in. All of these things, I think it could be done.
All right, hey, you guys, I'm going to try this as an experiment. I'm going to see if you can hear it. This is a tweet from a guy named Q Brooks, who has his son in the back of the car and is listening live to our show. Okay, let me see if I can make this as loud as possible. All right, here we go.
So, we're not supposed to say that? Where did you hear the person say stupid?
On the radio.
Ooh, okay. We'll have to make sure we...
The kid heard me say Greg Bergman stupid, and he says it's not a very nice thing
not
to say.
Not nice
on
the
radio.
Call somebody stupid.
I agree.
But this is Bergman. If the shoe fits, you know?
Beto Duran tweets, drive-in Dodger experience as Dodgers beat was pushing a few weeks ago.
Wait, the real Beto Duran tweeted that?
Yeah, Beto Duran. Do you know him?
Yeah, that's what I was asking you.
I always say, why don't we have Beto on the show? But nobody ever goes with me on it.
Well, I would. I like Beto.
Yeah, I like Beto too.
Why would you want to bring him on? To talk about what?
Well, he's been pushing this drive-in thing.
Yeah.
So I'm starting to think that, was this even a Greg Bergman original in the first place?
Yeah. I think it wasn't a Greg Bergman original.
He takes full credit.
Yeah, Dodger Beat was pushing this a couple of weeks ago, according to Betta. RYSE Up High Desert tweets, why is this a bad idea? Drive in sports, live stream it, and players can see and hear real fans. All right.
Yeah, so put the fans up on the scoreboard for all the players to see. And what I think the appeal could also be is you would have a feed, just like a closed circuit TV feed, at all screens that they have set up out in the parking lot, so you would be able to see it pretty much live in real time.
Yeah, I think you could figure it out so that it would show live in real time, John.
I don't want to sit in my car for all that time. I'm
actually starting to warm up to this idea.
Well, how would you feel if you had an anti-gravity lawn chair that you can just recline back and lay there and have your little drink right next to you on the side with your little table? That's what I do when I go to the drive-in.
Yeah, I don't know how communal that would be, though.
You're all beep. You beep your horn when something good happens.
Well, then I got to be sitting in my car.
You don't have to. You could still cheer. I think it actually sounds like it would be more fun than going to the drive-in. I went to the drive-in like 2 weeks ago, and I had a great time. We saw Goonies.
Where'd you see it?
Where was that?
It was at the drive-in in Ohio. So I was with my nephew.
Oh, okay.
And we saw, you know, they obviously there's no movies coming out, so they do these double header screenings with Goonies, and I think the other movie was Jaws, maybe.
Yeah, people have been doing Goonies is an unbelievably popular movie. I never realized it till I put it on midnights at my theaters, and Goonies always did business on special weekend midnight shows. Jaws did too. I mean, there were certain movies that just really worked. But yeah, I mean,
since we don't have
anything new.
Yeah, and it'd be just like going to see a movie, but you'd be going to watch a baseball game. And imagine being out there in the parking lot with all those people who would normally just be fellow moviegoers that were all Dodgers fans, and you guys could just unite and cheer, and it would be a blast.
We went to see, probably when I was a kid, as many as 4 drive-in movies a week during the summer. My dad loved going to the drive-in. And he had this cool van that he got for work. And we all went out there, and we always got a bucket of chicken before we and, boy, that's healthy. I love me some Kentucky Fried Chicken. Sometimes you wear, when we were really little, we wore pajamas to the drive-in, which was a really big deal. And they had like this playground thing you'd go to beforehand. The drive-in was a great experience. The drive-in was really fun. And by the way, it may be what we have now. It may be what we have. Because we don't have regular movie theaters anymore.
My favorite thing is at the drive-in that I go to back home in Ohio, they play the old school commercials, and at the interception that's what it's called, right? Interception, is that what they call it? In between the movies?
An intermission.
There we go. Intermission. Yeah. Close
between
enough.
Between two movies, there's an interception.
Well, they play either way. They play the commercials that have like the singing, dancing hot dogs and popcorn from like the 50s and 60s. It's great.
And they're counting down till the next movie. Oh, yeah. That's such great Americana. By the way, Beto's just picking on me today. Driving experience Dodgers beat pushing a few weeks ago. Why not? All in, but Venice Mace is against it. Thought he was for the people. Of course I'm for the people.
Nah, you're only for the people when it's convenient for you.
No, I just came around to this drive-in idea.
Yeah, tell Beto that we were also pushing it a few weeks ago, and it was thanks to Greg Bergman. So if he ripped it off from them, you got to take it up with him.
GBS, Greg Bergman stupid.
Yeah, there you go.
Sorry, that kid's in the car listening right now. All right, coming up next for you is Radio Tinder, Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. All right, it is time for Radio Tinder. Linz, what do you got for us today?
All right, starting off with Amazon. They informed U.S. sellers on Wednesday that they're now going to be required to disclose their business name and address on their public profile. The global e-commerce giant hopes to provide more transparency for consumers, and they're trying to crack down on counterfeit sales, which has been a growing issue for Amazon. I don't know if this is really about transparency for consumers or if it's just another sketchy Big Brother type move made by Amazon, but I want to ask you guys, do you think that Amazon requiring this stringent info from its sellers, swipe left or swipe right?
I'm going to swipe right on that. John, I don't know about you, but I tend to buy things on Amazon when they're Prime, which means it's Amazon's got control of the product. When you go off-site to a vendor that is an outside vendor, you just never know what you're going to get. So I completely support the idea of making sure we know who those outside vendors are.
And by the way, you should have as a consumer, Lindsay, a recourse in case you have an issue. You should have a way of getting hold of these people. And if they used to exist in a world where they had no way to contact them, no email address, no phone number, that just leaves you with nowhere to go. My mom's going through a thing right now where she bought, her and one of her friends bought pretty expensive tickets to the Angels opener.
Yep.
And they can't get their money back. They bought them through Vivid Seats. And Vivid Seats has no mechanism, and they even bought ticket insurance, and they can't get anybody to call them back, and they can't
even
get
in. Once the event happens, they won't get their money back?
No, the event has already been canceled.
Oh, it was Angels opening day.
Yeah, and they've already determined that they're not gonna play it, and yet they can't get their money back.
Well, it's confusing. I haven't got my ticket to see Taylor Swift at the at SoFi on the 26th of July, and I haven't got my money back.
Right. So, I mean, I'm all in favor. I'm with you, Mace. I'm all in favor of more ways to contact sellers, especially if I have some type of money exchange with them and I have an issue. I want to know how to get a hold of them. So, Lindsay, it sounds like you think that part of this may be nefarious. I'm not sure that it is.
No, I was just kind of throwing it out there just because, you know, Amazon is always in the news and we always talk about how we think it should be broken up. And
yeah, they're easy to pick on.
Yeah. Well, speaking of Amazon, Walmart actually is close to launching its own membership program that closely resembles Amazon Prime.
Mm-hmm.
The retailer plans to unveil Walmart Plus in July. It's a $98 per year service that includes same day delivery, fuel discounts, and other perks, according to CNN. Grocery options will also reportedly be included in Walmart Plus, because they're going to try and take on Amazon's ownership of Whole Foods.
Yep.
Walmart Plus was supposed to launch this past spring, but it was pushed back due to the pandemic. But now Walmart Plus becoming a legit competitor with Amazon. Swipe left or swipe right?
I'll swipe right on that. I think that it's interesting, but here's my question. I already pay, what is it, $120 bucks a year for Amazon?
Amazon, yep.
Why would I pay an additional $98 for Walmart Plus? There's nothing I can't get on Amazon. Why would I double down on Walmart?
Yeah, I mean, I'll swipe left on this. I don't believe this works. It reminds me of Blockbuster and Netflix. You know, Walmart was Blockbuster for many years, but in comes Netflix, which happens to be Amazon, and cleans their clock. Walmart is playing catch up, and I don't think they will ever successfully catch up to Amazon.
Yeah. Now, by the way, Lindsay, if they were to offer Walmart Plus for $49 or even better, $39 or $29, I think then they could take a bite out of the apple. But if I'm already spending $120 on Amazon, I'm not spending another $100 on Walmart Plus. I think the way Walmart Plus could take market share would be to come in at $29.95 and do all the things that Amazon does for $100 less.
Yeah,
then I think people would go after them.
But even then, you still don't get Amazon Prime, the TV shows, the channel.
Correct, and you don't get the programming, which I use a lot. I watch a lot of Amazon Prime shows.
So that makes me wonder, do you think like 5 years from now we could be watching Walmart Plus on our TVs?
Maybe,
impossible.
But Amazon is also going to get into the live sports business. I've got a friend of mine that's gone to work for them for basically a company called Amazon Sports. And pretty soon we may be watching the NBA and NFL playoffs on Amazon. So it could go the other
way.
We're all going to have Amazon chips implanted into our brains sooner or later.
Jess Mason. He wants the chip in his brain.
I will be the guinea pig. I will do it.
All right. We'll let you test it out. So you tell us how it goes.
Right, is that it?
You got any more?
I've got one more. Okay. A British woman was revolted when her daughter found what appeared to be a lizard head in her vegan bolognese sauce. While the family was sitting down for dinner last week, the teenage girl was horrified to find what looked like a scaly head of a reptile in her food. Oh. The family thinks it came from a can of tomatoes from the Little supermarket. Little apologized to the family and has launched a thorough investigation. Do you guys really believe that this family found a lizard head in their tomato sauce? swipe left or swipe right. I just kind of find it hard to
swipe
believe.
Right. I think that's totally possible. I don't know really? Why you would. It's a weird thing to make up.
Yeah, why? How would you? Why or how would you make it up?
I guess you would. They would probably make it up because they probably want to get some money out of it. That's the first thing I thought of. But to find a lizard head in your canned tomatoes, I don't know. Just
you know, I once found a complete living spider inside a salad I was eating.
Wow!
I have too.
I was frigging horrified.
Was it a Cleveland spider?
I don't know if it was a Cleveland. It was a really healthy sized spider, and I just freaked out. They offered me another salad. I'm like, you know, we can bring you a new one. I'm like, are you kidding me? You think I'm really going to eat another one of these salads after I just found a spider in it? Yeah, no, weird stuff does happen like that. I'm buying what the family's selling.
All right, that's it. Bring it
okay.
to today.
By the way, the chip is called Neuralink. Neuralink is the chip that I'm going to have put
is
in my
head. Is it the Elon Musk one?
It's the Elon Musk one, yeah.
I heard him talking about it.
That merges your brain with the internet. So I will no longer have to look up Baseball Reference to find out how many hits Cody Bellinger has in his career. It'll just immediately into my head.
You're going to dominate Game of Games.
Oh, my God. Game of Games. I'm going to destroy you guys. Destroy you guys. All right. Coming up next, one of the big stories of the day. DeSean Jackson apologizes for his anti-Semitic remarks. Steven Jackson sort of doubled down on those. He went on Don Lemon last night and ultimately did apologize. But Julian Edelman talked about it today. He is proud of his Jewish heritage and talked about it today. We will bring you what he said next. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.